Being the subject of love is a very important thing for every human being, but especially for children and young people. It's been said, for example, experience of a mother's love and care is love of an eternal quality. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul describes the Church of God as a mother. God in his congregation loves, nurtures, cares for, and cleanses. We, every one of us, children of God, need this love of the congregation mother. In the Gospel of St. John, it's described beautifully, the love, the disciples, their mutual love, God's children. The children of God are the followers of Jesus, residents of the kingdom of God, members of the family of God. Noteworthy is the fact that in the Bible, the love between the children of God is described as the hallmark of the followers of Jesus. You are known to be my followers and disciples when you love one another. As I have loved you, love you one another. The love between the children of God is influenced by the Spirit of God. This love is described as a central characteristic of the children of God. We are known for this love. This love does not come from man, but from God. The Bible emphasizes that the love of Christ can be seen in the day-to-day lives of the children of God. In everyday life, such situations arise where love between people is tried. We say that we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and eternal life. By faith and the opening of our eyes by the Holy Spirit, we see and we feel that we live in God's kingdom. In Jesus' parable of the vine, he teaches the importance of the living connection with Christ and in his own church. Contact with the saints cannot be born without the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul describes it as a great mystery that Christ and the church are, by the Holy Ghost, one, as a woman and man in marriage. The Church of Christ is dominated by the Spirit of God, not by the human mind or human perceptions. At best, the love of God is reflected in the fact that God has not rejected us, sin-fallen people, but instead he prepared in his Son the way to be with God. John writes that herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. John continues in his gospel that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God applies to every person. The birth of a child is a creation of God and the manifestation of God's love for man. After all, God has created me and all other creatures as in the Lutheran Creed, and we, with one voice, confess or declare. Dear children and young people, we have reason to thank God for the gift of life which we have received. Every day of our lives is a great gift of God. We also want to thank our parents that we have the right to be born into this world. This is not self-evident. God, in His great love, has created man to be united with Him. God has given every human being, before their birth, a spirit of love, the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, and every child is born into this world as a child of God." Dear young person, our lives have a purpose which God has given to us. Jesus expressed Christian love and the meaning of life in the dual commandment of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, equally important, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love of God is so amazing because our life has a real purpose given by Him. God has given us in the Bible advice and guidance so that we could be free and joyful, for believing is a happy matter. Living faith in our hearts affects our love toward God and our neighbors, other people we love. The Bible advises us beautifully. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Unselfish love of neighbors does not come from man, but comes from God. We are often slow to praise God and give thanks. We complain and are impatient. However, we have nevertheless learned that in the kingdom of God, we have been able to experience an atmosphere of love and peace. We have received and still receive, purely by grace, the forgiveness of our sins. In such a gracious atmosphere, we have been able to feel joy and freedom, which this world cannot comprehend. Such is the kingdom of God. The very essence of this kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us what kind of spirit is working in God's kingdom. The Spirit of the Lord is a spirit of consensus, peace, love, and patience. The Spirit of God does not advise us to argue. Instead, the Bible urges, "Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." The love between the believers is promised to be rewarded with the blessing of God. Have we remembered to thank God for the love amongst the believers? How is this love evident and felt in everyday life? In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, it explains what is the most wonderful thing in a human being. Listen carefully, dear young ones. It is compassion. What is compassion? What does compassion mean? It means forgiveness, and a mind of mercy and grace. It is honoring and appreciating other people. One who is merciful and kind respects and honors their fellow beings. This is a gift from God, the same love God gives in the gift of His own Son. When we believe our own sins forgiven, we get a bold mind and our troubles and worries fall away. The hope for the future brightens within us and our faith in God is strengthened. This is the kind of love that God has given to us as a gift. And we recognize this love through grace and mercy, which is reflected in speech and actions of believers. It is so wonderful to hear that we can believe all of our own sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. In the letter to the Philippians, it even describes mercifulness, gentleness, meaning the presence of God in everyday life. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known unto God. Paul in the Bible urges us to still be dressed in compassion. The love between believers is reflected in everyday lives, though in so many ways it is very touching. The love of Christ illustrated in the Bible constraineth us to help our neighbors. It is so important that I help, but that a person in need gets assistance and is helped. Struggling in the middle of a difficult situation in life, a believing friend gets brotherly love of the other believers. This is concrete help. John writes, "But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother has need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Have we remembered to ask that struggling sister or brother, "How can I help you?" Are we afraid to provide the assistance because it requires some actions from within us? It would require of us, selfish ones, something for which we are not ready or willing. Do I just love to say with words and speech, but fail to perform in concrete actions and deeds? John continues, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In the letter to the Corinthians, the characteristics of love are clearly depicted. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Paul urged Christians to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. "Honor thy father and mother, and love you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee." This is a commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Is this important to you, dear young? to remember this. And dear parents, our duty as guardians is to protect the child. It is our God-given task. It is also our responsibility to take care of the child, to look after their welfare and upbringing, to guide the child to know God and love their neighbors. We as parents are examples for our children. And the power of example is very large in the raising of children. Have a respectful attitude toward all people. This is evident in both the dual command of love and Paul's letter to the Romans. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. How does competing to respect one another show at home, for example, between spouses, children, and parents, other family members, and amongst our relatives, friends, and networks of friends, and even within Zion, in our various duties? I hope I did not belittle and discriminate against someone behaving in some other way, or anyone who may think differently than myself. Have I remembered that where Christ reigns by his Spirit, there is no form of discriminatory or dismissive manner or violence? The Word of God does not teach us to discriminate or belittle others or be violent with others. There is a danger to classify people or start comparing people because of certain characteristics, and in this way raise ourselves to be higher than others. Paul reminds us, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This forgiveness is something that can heal relationships. In the letter to the Philippians is a warning that let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Before God, we are all equal, regardless of gender, appearance, health status, life situation, wealth, education, social status, or the nature of the kind of family in which we live. The nature of the family in which we live. Do we remember in the hustle of everyday life, perhaps feeling offended or overtired, that every human being is created in God's image and is valuable just as they are? How can respecting and honoring one another be reflected in my own behavior? Dear friends, showing love to one another is respecting their reputation and protecting their honor. Loss of reputation is a heavy blow whose impact can be felt throughout one's entire life We must talk about our neighbors in the same way as we want them to be talking about us. Luther writes in the Small Catechism, "We should so fear and love God as not to falsely belie, betray, slander, nor raise injurious reports against our neighbor, but we should apologize for him, think and speak well of him, and put the best construction on all he does." Have we remembered these words taught to us during these times of freedom of speech? Do you know, dear young ones, that already a long time ago, Paul pondered how to appropriately approach his brothers in faith? In his letter to the Galatians, Paul wrote that, "I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice." Do we remember to lovingly approach all the people we contact when we surf the social media network, as we sign it anonymously or using our own name? Dear friends, when we approach a friend to talk about things one-on-one, it is important to approach the friend with a gracious and forgiving attitude, knowing we all are sinful and erring by human nature. In the letter to the Ephesians, we are given a clear guideline about how we should confront other believers. The Bible encourages us, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. For it is not good to approach a friend as if from above, for example, by asking, 'What were you thinking when you did this? Or did you do that?' A friend might get scared of such a confrontation, and a constructive conversation can be completely blown away with this type of approach. That's the way we are. We should pray for the right humility whenever we approach other people. What then is the right way to approach another person? We remember Jesus' advice about this when Jesus asked Peter on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, "Do you love me?" Personally experiencing God's love and forgiveness kindles love and a grateful feeling. When we enable the Spirit of God to direct our approaching of another person, there is a gentle love, grace, and mercy. Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." The Bible gives us instructions on how to approach one who is traveling in a wrong way. And if someone has offended, Paul gives instructions, "So that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and confront him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." Did you know, dear young ones, that already during the time of Jesus, believers had competition over the best positions? This type of competition breaks love. Is it hard for us sometimes when we get frustrated, speak bad about others, or envy others? Jesus said to his disciples and to us important words, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" The Gospel of Mark also contains wonderful words, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Isn't it also amazing to the human mind that it is a small child who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? When the love of God can affect the confrontation of believers, we can acknowledge, as Apostle Paul, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, it is amazing how refreshing it is to be here at the summer services. God's grace has influence. This grace gives us power to battle against sin. The Spirit of God guides the believers, not the law. The Bible describes God's grace and mercy as follows: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." The Holy Spirit advises each believing heart and tells us what is right and what is wrong. Dear young, have you heard of Pharisaic leaven and what it means? This is something that rises from humanity. This is a situation where other people appear to be faulty, but we feel fine about ourselves. Jesus warns believers and his disciples of this Pharisaic leaven. This Pharisaical leaven condition may demand perfection of ourselves and others. This is what we call a Christianity of deeds. It pushes aside the joy of believing and inner freedom. Believers are not slaves of people. This Pharisaic leaven, it creeps into hearts, and it comes from sin, and it breaks bonds. Never should we forget that it is the grace of God that is our teacher. Parents, youth, and children, to live the life as a child of God, suitable for a believer, we are not under the law, but under grace. In the letter to the Thessalonians, we are reminded, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Grace does not teach us to live in sin. The Bible gives us believers a lot of advice and words of teaching. They are words of love and admonition. This advice is written in the scriptures so that we would remain as free grace children of God. These words of advice reinforce the healthy teaching of grace that we recognize as the voice of our conscience. Grace directs us to live in the light, believing the gospel. In the fight against sin, we are often students with a poor memory. The grace teaches us to live in the light. We have the gospel of Christ. From the kingdom of God is proclaimed the unconditional and free gospel for everyone. Dear friends, here in this service tent, and maybe the other side of the globe listening to the internet, in our many phases of life, we may have come to know and feel how God's love surrounds us. God has heard our sighs and our prayers. He has not forgotten us. Even sometimes we fall and we make mistakes. Even now, tonight, the love of God approaches us with the word of the gospel. This light is radiating directly from the face of Christ, and it wants to melt a cold and hardened heart. We can believe that Christ is, according to his word, present here with us. You can lift your gaze onto Christ. From the grace of God, you can remain this evening believing all of your sins forgiven in the name and blood, atonement blood of Jesus. When your own sins are forgiven, there is nothing to be distressed about. The love of God calls you today, dear friend, if you are wishing to be connected to this love, you can believe all of your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. You can own to your own heart this grace and mercy from God. Personal faith is the most important, isn't it so, dear young people, children, and elders? God gives us courage and gives us hope for the future. Will you not believe? Once Christ will come in his glory to gather us all to our heavenly home, at that point, we will no longer have to doubt or be uncertain. Then we will see that which we have believed. It pays to believe. Let us pray. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.